So my talk title for today is Humanity Around the World, the Differences and the Similarities. And many people have traveled throughout their younger years or their lifetimes, or maybe have lived in other countries. I mostly traveled throughout the United States, camping with my family as I grew up. And in past years, I did have a chance to go to Ireland. And last year, for the first time, had this wonderful opportunity to travel to Europe and go down the Rhine River, and loved it so much. Decided once again this year we would go on another Viking, plug for Viking, there we go, Viking riverboat cruise down the Danube. And so in that experience, there were so many things that came up for me around how we can get set in our own little culture, our own little households, our own little spot in the world, and how much of, for myself, what I experience out there is a product of that. And then, I don't know about you, but I tend to think everybody else has kind of the same thoughts and the same feelings. And so to begin to be on this journey to see differences and yet similarities, what was quite fascinating. And so I thought I'd take you on a little documentary today and share some pictures with you from the trip and also some of the experiences that I had that touched my heart in recognizing differences and similarities. And what I discovered is that all of global humanity desires freedom, having our needs met, and to love and be loved. And it is that commonality in us that ties us together, even when a lot of our customs, even when a lot of what we experience on a day-to-day basis is very different. So I'm going to have Susan pull up the first one, which is the map. This was where we traveled. So we started on your left-hand side. We flew into Munich and then bused to Passau, which is to the Danube. We started there. We went to Linz in Austria. We went to Krems in Austria. Went to Vienna in Austria. Then to Bratislava in Slovakia, which is used to be a part of the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia, which is separated. Everything has changed in our world often. And then we went on down and to end our cruise at Budapest in Hungary. So I'll ask Susan to bring up the first slide of Passau, Germany. And I will share with you scripture from 1 Peter. And this is actually the Evangelical Heritage version of this scripture, chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing." What a wonderful way to live our lives in a time when differences oftentimes kind of make us separate or stand apart. And this was our first daily. We would go on a tour. We'd dock at one place, and then we'd go on a daily tour and walk around. So this is actually an area of students' quarters. And I thought it was so very picturesque, and I'm taking a picture, and then our guide says, "You notice the arches. They're very important." And she says, "With there being so much water in the ground here, if those arches were not there, the buildings would just bend in and fold in and collapse on each other." And I thought, isn't that an amazing metaphor for us of building bridges across and how they keep us connected but not imploding? So I really particularly love this picture. And then, Susan, if you go to 2, this is, so we walked through the city, and Passau, Germany, is actually the city of three rivers. We'll get to that picture in a moment. I want to stay on this for a minute, but it's where three rivers come together. And one of them is the Danube, which we all know from songs is the Blue Danube. The other river is green, is called the River Inn, and that's this picture here. It doesn't come out as well on this, but when I took the pictures on my phone, it's like green. It's just green. It's amazing. And the third river is the Ilz. So, Susan, if you go to the third picture, you can see where there's a curve right at the bottom. It almost looks black. It's so dark blue, it's black. So we sailed down the Danube, the one in the middle, and came down to that point. And then you look back and you can see all three rivers, the green and the blue and the Ilse. And so that was a fascinating experience of Passau, Germany. And from there, we went on to our next destination, which was Linz. And this is a picture of downtown. And I toured around in Linz. And as I looked at a normal day for people in Linz and what they were about, there was farmer's market going on. There was an ice cream shop. There were people doing what we would normally do. And yet there was some interesting differences to be evidenced. And Linz was at one time a very downtrodden and sort of considered a not too good portion of Austria. And they determined they were going to rebuild. And so they created cultural museums, and it has now become the provincial capital of Upper Austria. And yet as you see people going about their everyday lives, so let's go to the second one. That, it's hard to tell what that is, but those are actually water fountains that come out. People in the city go there to get their water. I haven't done that here in South Bend, Indiana. And so it was fascinating to see a lot of people ride their bikes. And the third picture fascinated me. Now, this is, the perspective is really hard to see. There's actually glass walls on each side. Then there's colored leaves. And the tunnels that are underneath there are underneath one of the abbeys that is there in Linz. And those are from Roman aqueduct tunnels that when they rebuilt the abbey or the cathedral on top, they didn't even know they were building. They had huge machinery on top, and it is amazing that it didn't ever even crush or drop down in and through them. But these were built back in Roman times, and it's so fascinating as you stand there. I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, there were Roman soldiers and people from a long time ago that were building these things. And so I was quite fascinated with Linz. And one of the things that I discovered, you know, in connecting with people and seeing some of the differences, even though most of them don't speak English, but you can do sign language and you can figure things out. Bill, unfortunately, came down with a really terrible stomach virus after our first day there. And so here we are in a strange country, and I'm asking the boat, well, what do I do? And she said, well, walk back 15 minutes into town, because I'd come back from the tour, and she says, go to the apotheque. And there, that's their pharmacy. Well, what's interesting in Austria and in Hungary and I think parts of Germany, is when you get ill, you don't go to the clinic. You go to the apotheke, because the person who is there can prescribe to you a lot of what you would normally get for colds and those kinds of things if you went to a doctor. And a lot of what we would need a prescription for, they do over the counter. So I was able to get a few things, not enough that really helped him completely, but he began to be on his way of mending. But it was such an interesting experience to go in. Just so everyone knows, they do carry Imodium. That's good. Maybe that's TMI, but they do carry it. However, I said Pepto-Bismol, something for stomach, you know. And what I found so fascinating is she looked it up in her computer, because anything that can translate stuff, and nothing like that. They're more, much more into holistic. So they had these sort of Swedish herbal drops of some kind. And so you were you were a good trooper, and you took them, didn't help a lot in that particular circumstance. But it's like differences that we don't think about. We take for granted going to the clinic, getting prescriptions, calling in. And to actually go to the apotheque and have that person who is handing out, they just go into these drawers, they pull the drawers open, they pull stuff out, and a lot of stuff over the counter, here we would need to have a prescription for. So I just found that fascinating in seeing the differences in my expectations and how they live their lives. So as we, and it was really interesting as we were in Linz to hear about the Empress Elizabeth, who was often nicknamed Sisi. She was a young woman at the age of 16, betrothed to become the husband of who was going to be the king of Hungary. And she was a wild child. So it was fascinating because we think, oh, you know, prim and proper and in the castle and you're all good. Well, at 16, she had black hair down to her ankles. She had a tattoo on her shoulder. She loved to go out riding and drinking and smoking. And so she went to, you know, this very formalized castle in Hungary, and her mother-in-law didn't care for her too much. But it's fascinating to see in the history of the Habsburgs and her joining them, how different, you know, we might perceive someone who was a princess or an empress or following in the lines of making a difference in their country. And so I just found it so fascinating to hear about Sisi, the Empress of Austria, who became the Queen of Hungary. And then as we traversed on down, we went through what was called the Washoe Valley. So this was a day in the morning where we were sailing or motoring or whatever it's called, cruising down the river. And the Washoe Valley leads down to Krems, Austria. And along there are all these terraces of grapes. It's a very well-known area for their wines and so forth. And so this is first, this was a cathedral. We're actually out on the ship at this point looking at a cathedral, and there are so many cathedrals everywhere. And then we'll go on to the second one, which is the castle is actually at the very top of the hill. And so as you're wending your way down along the river, it's fascinating to see how many cathedrals, how many castles are a part of the history of this area. And there's one thing that I did forget to mention, because that first stop in Passau, Germany, and our guide was sharing with us that there's a population of approximately 52,000 people. And in that very small area where those three rivers come together and just that little strip of land in the middle, there are more than 50 Catholic churches. And 90% of the people in that community are Catholic. And you are automatically, your what we would call a love offering here, your contribution, your financial support is automatically deducted from your wages without any choice. And yeah, we had some interesting faces as we heard this. And yet, as the woman spoke about it, Catholicism to her was very meaningful. And she was a part of that, even though it did not allow for the freedoms that we might want to have. But she felt the support, and she felt the comfort of that support, of that community all around her. So it's just those differences that we'd go, and I heard all of you, which was a few of the things we said too when we were on the tour, you know, and yet isn't that fascinating? The culture we're brought up in, what's important to us, what has meaning and value. So sorry to back up, but I missed that little part. I have a lot of notes on here, yes. Okay, so as we went down the Washoe Valley, then we were headed to Krems, which is in Austria, and it's a university town, but they're mostly known for, so this is as we pulled up, and so again, cathedrals, churches everywhere, and they are known for their terraced vineyards, their wines, their Rieslings, and also for growing apricots. And so if you'll go to the second one, this picture is of the Gottwig Abbey, which is right there in Krems, and they were a part, the Habsburgs family, who were the rulers, they built a home up against the Abbey that was a part of their residence when they traveled through there because they didn't want to stay at Motel 8, you know. They had to have a whole castle there for the few moments when they would stay over. But this is the Abbey, and they have continued to prosper through education, through the growing of apricots. So they produce apricot spritz wine, apricot brandies. We got to taste some things. That was quite lovely. But when you look at the grandeur, and I know it's hard to see from far away, but you can tell that people in their belief systems are building that which is to impress God, to say, this is very important. We might have a different perspective, but we can honor that this is significant to people there and in that country. And then the third slide has the pipe organ. So all of that up there is the pipe organ, and it's still functioning. We didn't get to hear it while we were there, but amazing, amazing, amazing. And then the fourth is of the Habsburg residence. So this is a grand staircase that comes all the way up. And this is, I couldn't take the whole picture, but this is a part of their residence that abuts right onto the Abbey. And what was fascinating about the staircase is that those stairs were about this wide and about this high. So our guide explained to us, and she said, when the women had the big full skirts, they couldn't look down at their feet. They needed to be sure of how they stepped. But what happened is it made them look like they were floating. So they were otherworldly as they went up and down the stairs. So I just find these things quite fascinating. And of course, this goes way back in history to the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries. But to see how people lived and what was important. So we and enjoyed the wonderful experience of the Abbey and of tasting the apricot brandy and the wines. And the one bottle of wine I brought home was a Riesling from there. It was just outstanding. So I'm looking forward to having that at another time. So from there, from Krems, Austria, we moved on down to Vienna. Vienna is a large city, and it's very commercial. It has very high-end shops, a lot of designers and stuff that we would know here in the United States. And the tour, we toured quite a bit on the bus and then also got out to walk around. Most of you are aware of the musicians, Haydn, Mozart, Strauss, you know, from that area. Many of you are aware of the how many of you know the Lipizzaner Stallions. So that was fabulous. It was Sunday, though, that we were there, so we could not go in to see a show of them. But I got to walk in. If you could do the next one, Susan. That is in that architecture is a tunnel that you walk through, and the Lipizzaner, the entrance to going in to see them is right there. So I watched the video. So that was lovely, but to just hear about, you know, the musical background and the history of that area, the romance of that, and how the people appreciated that. One of the things that my guide shared was that Vienna is known for its coffee. And one of the very special things about being in Vienna and ordering coffee is you can go in and order one cup and sit there for the rest of the day. And that's a practice where people meet in high-end business deals, or students sit there with their computers, and they don't rush you, they don't push you, you order one cup of coffee that purchases your real estate of where you're sitting for however long you want to sit there. So I found that interesting in our fast-paced society, how we're always rush, and get everybody through and eat your dinner or go have your coffee or take it to go. And so it was wonderful to see that. So moving on to the next picture. Oh, man, you can't even see it here. But that is one of the cathedrals in the main square. We did not go inside because it was Sunday. But it was so impressive with all the shops and everything around. And then they had a service there. So if you see the next picture, That young man right there, how many of you are familiar with Vienna Boys Choir? He had just come from having sung in the choir, and he was walking with his mom, and I'm like, our whole little tour group is like, wow, can we take a picture with you? And the mom said, well, sure. And he was so enthralled, you know, and that people appreciated his skill. And I just found that quite heart touching. And then the next picture. So this is one of the government buildings. There was a big square there. They were moving into a government day, a time. So they had a lot of armed soldiers and people that were around. And I'd like to share a quote from Kofi Annan. He is a former Secretary General of the United Nations. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And he says, we may have different religions, different languages, different colored skin, but we all belong to one human race. And when you see all of the flags that are lined up there, it reminds you of that embraciveness of all. And Robert Allen, who's a screenwriter, a film producer, and he was famous also for promoting racial equity. And he says, cultural differences should not separate us from each other, but rather cultural diversity brings a collective strength that we can benefit all of humanity. So as I'm seeing all these differences and having people share about their how they grew up and their homeland experience, where I would look at someone and then impose my own belief of who they are, what they might be doing, what's important in their life, and then someone would share a story and it was so different than any background or anything that I had grown up with. So I really enjoyed being sort of shaken out of my complacency, out of that little comfort zone into an experience of the world and of other people. So the next picture were the soldiers that were walking around. You can't see it in this picture, but close up, that gentleman, I didn't know if I was allowed to take a picture or not, and I just went, and he's looking at me like this. I'm like, okay, I'm going with my group, you know, so... And there wasn't anything truly menacing about it. They were there for maneuvers. They were there as a part of protecting their city. And so that was fun. And then the next one is, there was a lot in Austria. It was huge. And why this particularly touched me. So this is a statue of Empress Maria Theresa. Teresa, are you watching? Is she online? Yes, and your namesake there, yeah. So she was the Empress of the Habsburg Empire. And what I loved about this, so you see her seeing up on the top of the statue, when her father died, she took over running the country and became the Empress versus a male figure moving into that position. And in her time of reign, she invoked many, many different kinds of social reforms and wonderful things that helped her country. So I definitely had to take a picture of Empress Maria Theresa and all of the people there just idolized what she had accomplished for her country. Okay, and then another experience I had in the evening in Vienna was this wonderful experience of tasting wines at what are called Herrigans. And these are individually owned wineries by small families. And where before, in 12th, 13th, 14th century, they would have to give up all their wine to their overlord or whoever was over them. Well, the Herrigan... culture began when they were freed from that and they could then sell directly to the people, the public. So they create these wonderful homes, not just here, but all throughout Austria, where this is a family-owned vineyard and they produce their own wines. And go ahead to the next picture. This is out in the courtyard. This is out front. Next one. And hard to see, but we're so my group that I went on a special tour in the evening. we all sat at the table, and they bring out these special cheeses and this wonderful bread, and then they start bringing wine for you to taste. And it's hard to see the bigger mugs that have a handle on them, but in that culture, even the children are allowed to have some of the wine. And if one of the wines that they pour is kind of a new one and it's not that great, then you just pour it into the bigger mug and you pour water in and you dilute it. And they would do that oftentimes for the youth anyway. And in the background, hard to see, but there was an accordion player and a violinist. And they went in our room. There were other rooms throughout that whole building. And they rotated around. So any of you who are here and go to fellowship, I'll play, because I did take a video of music. So I'll play that for you if you would like. But I was just so touched. And is there one more? Or no, that was the last one. Thanks, Susan. Okay, so from there. We went to Bratislava, and that is in Slovakia. Now, I'm not as familiar with my history as I would like to be, but a great deal of that country was behind the Iron Curtain. And in this first residence, this building, we did the walking tour, and I'll show you the cathedral in a moment, but this particular building, the woman who was our guide, she pulls out a picture of a book, a notebook she had, and it was a picture of her as a little child when she had lived there with her parents behind the Iron Curtain. And at that time, the buildings on either side had been bombed and were no longer there. And so I'm sitting here with a woman who is leading me in a tour who lived through that experience in her life. And it touched me deeply to see her optimism in going forward. She still has relatives that live in that building, but her optimism for her country and for sharing the beauty and the history of it, because Bratislava was one of the areas where most of the kings and queens came to be crowned. So if you'll show me, show the next. So this is the St. Martin's Cathedral. And there's all these bricks that you wind your way on the road to get to that. And in the bricks, I have a picture, I didn't include it, there are these gold crowns embedded. And so you know it was the royal processions. And there were 11 kings and 8 queens who were crowned in this St. Martin's Cathedral. And it's, I have vast pictures. There's many on the side, and it's fascinating, but it just touched my heart to see this. Okay, and so then we went from there into downtown. You see people shopping, just doing normal things, and yet you recognize that their experience of life, of every day, is so different from how I grew up, from what I expect, from the comforts, from the ease that I just take for granted. So I appreciated this, and you can see the cathedral in the back. And then the next one, who's that? Ice cream, definitely. We want to just have our needs met and to love and be loved, all of us. And I'd like to share, I missed one here. Oh, there it is. Yeah. So I'd like to share a quote from Jimmy Carter, and Bill was finally beginning to heal a bit. He had been sick for 3 days in a row, quite sick. One of the experiences was by Sunday, when he was still weak because he was so dehydrated, it was time to call in a doctor. So the boat does not have someone on board, but they will bring someone. Well, several other people on board ship had gotten this virus, and so the doctor was already there and so came to visit him. So it was quite an experience for me in Vienna on a Sunday when everything is closed, and to find the meds for him that would help. And so the doctor wrote out all the prescription. I got in an Uber taxi with someone or whatever who did not speak English. She said it'll be like 5 minutes from here, and it's the only one that's open. Okay, thank you. I show the paper to the guy, and he's like, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. You know, he spoke a little English. I'm like, okay, I don't know where I'm going to end up, but here we go. And so we drove and drove and drove, and then we got to this place with this gray closed door, no windows, no anything, branches and stuff all around it, and it said closed. My heart is dropping down to the floor, and I was breathing, and I looked up, and half a block down, I saw this green A, which is the apothec, and he had just gotten the address slightly wrong. And so he goes, oh, and he drove down there. And so I go in, and once again, this fascinating thing of whoever is there in the pharmacy can fill. You don't have to have, I mean, I did have a doctor's recommendation, but I was able to get those things for Bill. And so he began to get better, got rehydrated, and that was a wonderful, but it was such a different experience to drive and not know where you're going and not know if you're ever getting back to the ship or not or what is going to happen. So fast forwarding now, and so we're in Bratislava, and he was able to go in the afternoon, and we were able to walk through the city and downtown, and we both love ice cream. So here's a quote from Jimmy Carter. It says, "The bond of our common humanity is stronger than the divisiveness of our fears and prejudices." When is ice cream not ever going to help us come together and have the joy and have our needs met and just experience the sunshine on our faces? And Sophie Gregor Trudeau, who is a Canadian television host, and she is a wife of the 23rd Canadian Prime Minister, she says, "The differences that separate human beings are nothing compared to the similarities that bond us together." And so in this whole experience of being with people and seeing things differently and having my own expectations and my judgments and recognizing that differences do not need to separate us, that the differences actually enrich each and every one of us in our lives. And so from there, our last stop was Budapest, Hungary, and the Buda side is the hilly portion. It's on the other side of the Danube. The Pest side is the lower portion, which is the city. And there are many cathedrals, shops. It's a huge city. We drove for a long time through on our bus. And so it is the capital city of Hungary. They have their own currency, unlike anybody else. So your euro isn't good there. Your dollar isn't good there. So it's good to have a credit card when you go, if you want to purchase anything. So the second one, we'll show the shops. This was where you'd walk and you'd pick things up. And I'd like to share this quote from John Hume, Nobel Prize winner. He was an Irish national nationalist. And he said, "The difference is the essence of humanity. And it should therefore never be the source of hatred or conflict. The answer to difference is to respect it. Therein lies a most fundamental principle of peace, respect for diversity." And Desmond Tutu, we know, Nobel Prize winner, South African archbishop and theologian, "My humanity is bound up in yours, for we can only be human together." So as I'm experiencing, as we're experiencing all of these different, and you can go to the next picture. And these were shops. We actually had goulash, which is the paprika, which Hungary is famous for. So we had that in a little outdoor there. And the next one is the main cathedral there where they dropped us off, and we went out into the city from there. And the next one in that cathedral, I'll help you with the perspective. You're actually walking along the floor of the cathedral. You look down through this glass flooring, and there are Roman ruins underneath the cathedral. So as many times as people's lives were disrupted through all the different wars and the change of power, things that were bombed and razed to the ground and then were rebuilt. And so it was so fascinating to look and to see this amazing history. And then from there, the next one is, this is walking to the Budapest, Hungary. It's the marketplace. and you go in and it's like going to the biggest swap meet or the biggest sidewalk with indoors, but all kinds of shops and mostly paprika. So let's go to the next one. See, all of those are paprika peppers. And there's a gazillion paprika. There's meats. If you want fish or pickles, you go downstairs because otherwise the smell would permeate the whole shopping area. And then upstairs is where you get the linens, the lace, the special clothing, and that. So it's fascinating to take time in that marketplace. Then the next one is, this is actually a restaurant. It was part of one of the tours of the marketplace that I was on that then allowed us to sample some of the foods or what you might have when you ate there. And these are all the instruments of farming and all different kinds of tools that people used. The last photograph of Hungary, this was their version of a charcuterie board. And I'm sure they had them far before we ever did. So it's very hard to see, but in the very front corner, there's cucumbers, but on top are these white that look like bell peppers. And they taste so different. Well, they were paprika peppers. And I didn't know I only know it as a dried and red, and I didn't know. So it was a fascinating experience to break bread with people, to share with people from the tour and from people all around. And so the experience was amazing, and I think it's important, and I just invite us all to recognize how many differences we experience, not only in our own culture and right here in the United States, but across around the world, and to realize that those differences don't need to separate us, but we can build upon them, we can share with each other, we can come out stronger on the other side. Mother Teresa says, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. And the Dalai Lama says, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. Throughout my experiences with all of the people, with all of the guides that helped, in times when I didn't speak English, in times when Bill was in need, when I was in need, when we were trying to wend our way, people were there in support and caring, even though there were so many differences in who we are and how we experience life. So I will close with this scripture from Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It was a wonderful experience, friends, and I invite you to explore for yourselves, whether it's here in this country or in experiences when you experience the world news or anything, when you see those differences and those similarities and those judgments come up, to just embrace and put on love, which binds us all together in perfect unity.